This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya al-mursaleen. نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ثم ما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear brothers and sisters, and welcome to the continuation of the tafsir of Surah Yusuf عليه السلام, focusing on the tafsir of Ibn Taymiyyah رحمه الله. Verse, this is lesson number 9 now, and we'll be covering today verses number 27, 28, 29. Now, up to 29, we'll stop there inshallah today. So let's begin by reciting this portion. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wastabaqal baba wa qaddat qamisahu min duburin wa alfa ya sayyidaha ladal bab. Qalat ma jazau man arada bi ahlika su'an illa an yusjana aw azabun aleem. قال هي راودتني عن نفسي وشهد شاهد من أهلها إن كان قميصه قد من قبل فصدقت وهو من الكاذبين وإن كان قميصه قد من دبر فكذبت وهو من الصادقين فلما رأى قميصه قد من دبر قال إنه من كيدكن إن كيدكن عظيم يوسف أعرض عن هذا واستغفري لذنبك إنك كنت من الخاطئين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Okay, this is that scene, you know, in the life of Yusuf alayhi salam, where he's being trying to be seduced by that very crazy lady. Now, we spoke about this last week, because it began last week, and this is the continuation. But just to put it into context, you know, just to try and bring it home, what's happening here? Yani, the story begins, Allah Jalla wa'ala first says, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ. That when he reached a certain age, and that age is basically when he's reached full manhood, at that point Allah placed him in this big trial of temptation. So he's already an age where, you know, temptation is going to be the most difficult in terms of his lifespan. So that's kind of like the age, you know, me and you would go college or uni. So imagine yourself at that time now, or maybe you are at that time now, and it's not that you're having problems, you know, taking your eyes away from the opposite gender, but there's actually a girl out there who's after you. And this is not a random person. This girl is that type of girl that everyone goes after. You know, Imra'atul Aziz, she's from the rich and famous, like a celebrity. That type of girl is after you. I mean, that's already going to be so problematic. But let me add to the whole scenario that even though you're going uni, slavery is still around. So the fact is that the girl is after you, you're actually a slave to that girl anyway. Oh, that's going to make things even worse. Now, she not only says flirtatious things to you, haytalak, every time you go past, she says haytalak. Yeah. She one day traps you. inside of your dorm. You know, you live out. Okay, you don't live with mom and dad anymore. You moved away. Now you live on campus. No one's there. And she comes into your dorm. She finds a way in. She locks the door. غَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. Okay, and now you're trapped. And she's not even speaking to you now flirtatiously. She makes a move on you. Wow, are you serious? And you know, when I was thinking about this, one of my tuition teachers came to mind. I remember when I was, he was tuitioning in maths, I think. This was GCSE. He was such a shy, reserved person. Muslim. So he's telling me once, I don't know how it came, he goes, you know, when I was at uni, I went to uni, I was living out the first year, and what happened is the first day I got to campus and I got all my luggage, put in the room, and I was getting ready, putting everything away. The door was slightly ajar, my door was slightly open, and this blonde-haired girl, she peered into my room, and I got shy and I just looked away. I thought, what's going on here? And then she pushed the door open. And she popped her head inside and she goes, oh, why don't you come to my apartment? You know, you can help me unpack as well. He was like, what? What's going on here? And he was so shy. He ran and pushed the door closed on her face. So, and that type of scenario is really difficult, you know, for a person to control themselves in. Now, for Yusuf alayhi salam, it was far more difficult than that scenario. He's a slave to this woman. Okay, and he's inside her castle. There's no way he can go. However, when she tries to make a move on him, this is what happens. وَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابَ وَقَدَّتْ قَمِيصَهُ مِنْ دُبُرْ. They both now race to Al-Bab, the door. You see, just before Allah told us this, He also told us that don't think Yusuf alayhi salam somehow wasn't tempted by that lady. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا. So there was some struggle there for Yusuf alayhi salam. In his heart, he was tempted. However, he overcame the temptation inwardly first with his heart by fearing Allah, and then he acted with his limbs. What did he do? وَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابِ. That they both raced to the door. Now it's clear why Yusuf alayhi salam would race to the door. He's trying to race to the door to get out, right? Why is she racing to the door? To stop him from getting out. So they're both wastabaqa, both racing. Interesting how Allah first said that they had two different types of hum. She had her hum, he had his hum. Now Allah says they both ran in one verb, wastabaqa. Not saying he ran and then she ran. Do you see? What's interesting though is they're running for completely different reasons. Wastabaqa al-bab. Yeah? And in the process, qaddat qamisahu. She does qad of his qamis. Qad is to make a tear, a slit, a long slit in the back. Yeah, Allah says min dubur, from the back. So Ibn Ashur said that what he believes to have happened from the ayah here is that Yusuf is about to make a run for it. She goes up to him and she probably tries to touch him or something, and he turns around and is about to run. As soon as he's about to run, she grabs him, you know. And he doesn't stop, he carries on running. So as he carries on running, she makes a tear in the back of his shirt, most probably unknowingly. Now Allah said, غَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. She locked all of the doors. And it was like that reference to a big house, like a castle. They're inside a massive castle, most probably in an inner room somewhere. So Yusuf alayhi salam, you can imagine, he's trying to run away from her. He's opening one door after another door, to try and get out of that castle. He's making a frantic run for it. Yeah, istibaq, Ibn Ashur says, signifies struggle. Competing with somebody else and struggling at the same time. So Allah is saying, look, he's struggling. And she's struggling as well. She's trying to struggle in order to get to the door first. If I get to the door first, I can stop him. وَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابَ وَقَدَّتْ قَمِيصَهُ مِنْ دُبْرُ وَأَلْفَيَا. Very interesting word. Alfaya translated as they both find. But the word for they to find is wajada, right? So Allah doesn't say وَوَجَدَا سَيِّدَهَا لَدَ الْبَابِ. Allah says alfaya. Okay, and this word ilfa means to find without even trying. means to find unknowingly, by surprise. So Allah is saying they both run for the door. وَأَلْفَ يَا سَيِّدَهَا. And what happens? Out of nowhere, Yusuf is a man just to open the door, and who do you know is on the other side? The Sayyid. Aziz is there, right there. And Allah refers to Aziz as not Sayyidahu, his master. Allah says what? Sayyidaha, her master. If anything, it should be Yusuf's master, right? Or at the very least, you know, Sayyidahuma, both of their masters. But Allah says, whose master? Her master. That's who they find. Where? Lada, right at the bab, right at the door. This is the last door in the castle that leads to the exit. There, he's trying to come inside. Coincidentally, he's come back home at that particular time. And Yusuf has just got to the door, opened it, and he sees Aziz. Now the thing is, both of them are actually there. She's right behind him, and so they both see Aziz. However, Allah Jalla wa'ala said, in actuality, what I want you to focus on is that the person that they found was her master. Why? Why did Allah Jalla wa'ala say, and they found Sayyidaha? Her master. Now of course, master, Sayyid, you know, as many said, historically speaking, that's what the Egyptians would call the husband with regards to the wife. He's the Sayyid, meaning he's the husband. However, that still doesn't answer the question, which is Allah said, look, it's actually her Sayyid that I want you to think that they found, as opposed to his master. So why? Why did Allah Jalla say that they surprisingly, you know, unknowingly, they end up, you know, seeing Aziz? And in that case, what really matters is that he was her master. Why do you think that is? Okay, so you're saying that the focus here is the guilty person. Yeah. So Yusuf alayhi salam sees Aziz. Is he thinking, oh no, it's Aziz? Or he's thinking, oh, thank God it's Aziz. Or say it's I'm so happy to see you. Yeah. But she's thinking, oh no, it's Aziz. So in that situation, she's the one who is, you know, caught off guard. She's the one who's caught guilty. So in that case, you know, out of the two, who is looking at the Aziz as their master more? She is. Caught red-handed by my own master, Sayyid. Ah, okay. Sayyidaha ladalbab, at the door. The other thing is that, I think Ar-Razi mentioned this, that Yusuf alayhi salam, you know, by this time, you know, Aziz loves him so much. He's not even a slave anymore to Aziz. You know, they're just so close, you know, doesn't treat him like a slave. When the first time he came to the house, he said, Akrimi Mathwa, look after him, give him a fantastic, you know, place of residence here with us. So by now, he's so close to Aziz, he's not even like a slave. Okay. Wallahu alam. It's interesting. Sayyidaha ladal bab. Qalat. Now who speaks first? Huh? Who speaks first? The lady speaks first. If anything, who does Aziz see first? Aziz or the woman? Sorry, Aziz sees Yusuf first, right? He sees Yusuf first. So he's already thinking, hang on a minute, who's chasing after who here? So she cuts in straight away. And look at what she says. قَالَتْ مَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ أَرَادَ بِأَهْلِكَ السُّوءٍ. She doesn't say, he's trying to rape me. She doesn't say that. What does she say? قَالَتْ مَا جَزَاءُ. What is the jaza? Jaza here means, what's the punishment? Punishment? Oh, so you, I'm already assuming that you realize that he's the guilty one here, not me. You see how cunning she's being? She doesn't say, he's trying on me. She says, what's the punishment? Forget about all of that. It's already a fact that he is trying it on me. He's trying to rape me. So she said, قَالَتْ مَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ أَرَادَ بِأَهْلِكَ. What should be the punishment for the one who desires not evil for me? She says, for your family. He's trying it on your family. You know, what do you have to say about that, Aziz? What are you going to do about that? And then she even doesn't even stop there. When she carries on, she says, "Illa an yusjana aw 'adabun alim." Oh, I'll tell you what, I mean, You know, I'm just going to suggest something here. It's up to you if you take it or not. I'm thinking prison or adabun alim, torture, lashing. I don't know. I'm just putting it out there, Aziz. It's up to you. You know, it's your call. So she's going straight in for the kill. Not even going to accuse him. I'm going to say you should be punishing him now. And even in there, there's a few lessons. Number one is that she knows that Aziz has a soft spot for Yusuf al-Islam. And because of that, he might overlook it all. Okay, that's the first thing. The second thing is, what's the first punishment that she suggests? Is it to, you know, painfully punish him? Or is it to imprison him? It's imprison him, right? So why don't you go for the lesser of the two first? She loves him. You know, it's a crazy love, twisted love at that. But the fact is, she's still got strong feelings for him. So she doesn't want to see him, you know, be tortured. She doesn't want that to happen to him. But at the same time, she wants him to be punished. You know why? To send him a message that don't you dare I'm gonna try on you again. All right, and you better not do anything silly that time. So she wants to send him a message that don't mess with me. Okay, you better succumb to my request next time I do that. Yusjana is a verb. It's a present tense passive verb. As for adabun alim, that's a noun. So the difference between a verb and noun is that a verb is to do with a particular time, caged by time. Noun is not caged by time. So adabun alim is to say, you know, punish him whatever way. In this way or that way, this way or that way. But to say imprison him in a verb is actually means for a little while put him in prison. Just for a little while. Yusjana could be even for a day, Razi said. Yeah. So she's saying, I just want him to have a little bit of punishment. And what type of punishment? He's not going to feel anything. He's going to be in prison for a day or so, you know. That one. So the first one that she comes out with is the one that she really wants Aziz to take up. Okay. And that's because she loves him. Okay, that's because she loves him. So that's why she says that first. Qalat ma jaza. This ma jaza. The ma here could either be used as a question, like, ma jaza, what do you think is the punishment? Should it be this, or this, or this? Or, ma jaza is to say, what did I say here? Oh, forgotten. Allahumma salli wa Muhammad. طيب, let's continue. I forgot this. Okay, so what's the lesson that we learn here? One of the key lessons that we learn here is, number one, the obligation to free from temptation. Now you have to see the raising of Yusuf alayhi salam and the lady in a symbolic way. He was running to the door, but symbolically, what was he running away from? He was running away from haram, temptation, zina. Physically, he was running away from it. And she was physically running to it. Yeah. And the fact that Yusuf ran away from the temptation shows us that there is an obligation there. That when a person is faced with those kind of temptations, he shouldn't say, you know what, I can handle it, or it's not that bad, or it's okay. He should say, you know what, I need to get away as far as possible from this. You know. And the fact is that Yusuf, he knew that all the doors are locked. I mean, what am I going to do when I get to the door? It's locked anyway. You know, it's true or not? They're all locked. And the way she's locked them, غَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ, she's locked all of them properly. Is it any worth me running to the door? Then why does he still run to the door? He still runs to the door because he knows Allah wants us to do the maximum. And that's the second lesson. Allah wants to see us do the maximum, even if the maximum is just this much. The most Yusuf alayhi salam could have done is run away, even to a locked door, from here to there. He didn't say, you know what, what's that going to do? He said, Allah wants me to do the maximum. Even if it's just there, let me do that maximum. You know. So many a times we're in difficult situations, and somebody says, Allah, Sahih, what can we do in uni? We've got to talk to sisters, brothers and all the rest of it. You can't really do nothing. And then they let their guard down. And whatever happens, happens, it's all casual. Why? Because they say, you can only do so much. Tayyib, so why don't you do that much? Yeah, okay, that's true. Let me do the maximum. When somebody does the maximum, then Allah helps that person. When someone says, khalas, what's the point? What's going to happen anyway if I sit over here or I sit over there? No, do the maximum you can do and leave it then to Allah. Once Allah has seen you've done the maximum, Allah will take care of you. Just like here. He ran to a locked door, and what do you know? Who's on the other side? The one person who would end everything there and there. Yeah? Aziz. Who made that happen? Allah Jalla wa'ala. What did Yusuf alayhi salam do? He done the maximum, which is just to run to the door and try and open it. Okay? This third one is quite an interesting one. You see, Allah Jalla wa'ala said, wastabaqa, that they both raced to the door. So if somebody was seeing these two run to the door, and they never knew anything else, they'd think that they both ran to the door for the same reason. One wants to get there before the other one. Their actions are exactly the same. However, their niyyah is totally different. SubhanAllah. True or not? That their intentions are completely different. However, their action may be exactly the same. And it teaches us the importance of having the right intention. That sometimes a person may be doing things which, you know, others can't tell his intention. But Allah knows his intention, and he's judging him based on his intention. You know, as the Prophet said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ مِرِينْ مَا نَوَى. Indeed, actions are, according to one interpretation, judged upon the intention. And every man will get what he intended. You know? So Aziz is standing there at the door. And he's just been given all this information. Bang. You know, what do you know what's happened? He's trying on me. You need to punish him. What are you going to do about it? Prison him. What are you going to torture him? What are you going to do? And then Yusuf al-Islam speaks. Do you see? He never said something first. He said, after she's accusing him of all this stuff, then he speaks up. Okay? And there's a little lesson that we're going to come to. So what did he say? قَالَ هِيَ رَاوَدَتْنِي عَنْ نَفْسِي. He says, she was the one who tried to seduce me. Notice how, you know, the wife of Aziz, she didn't say he tried to seduce me. What did she say? She said some, you know, random stuff. He never said the actual thing. But Yusuf alayhi salam said exactly what was happening. And it shows you who's guilty as well. That's another indication. So what did he say? He said, here. She is the one who tried to get my irada to change to her irada. Yeah? رَاوَدَتْنِي عَنْ نَفْسِي. And then, وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. Now, Allah Jalla wa'ala speaks about what happens next. So Yusuf made his case. He just says point blank, no, she's the one who tried it on me. Now, a third person, or fourth person rather, comes into the scene. Who is this person? Many, many views. Let us just see what this ayah says. وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِيَا. That a shahid, a person, a man, who Allah refers to as the witness, or a witness. He comes in, and Allah says, the only thing you need to know about this man is not his name, his age, however, that he was from Ahliha. He was from her side of the family. Why does that make a big difference? The fact is that Allah Jalla wa'ala is saying here, look, the person who's going to come to decide what's going on, he is from her side. If anything, he's going to be biased towards her, not against her. However, that person, what does he do? He says, إِن كَانَ قَمِيصُهُ قُدَّ مِن قُبُلٍ فَصَدَقَتْ وَهُوَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Now he starts to basically propose how to investigate the matter. Okay? He says, if his shirt is torn in front, she speaks the truth and he has clearly told a shameless lie. However, here, who is this shahid? Because there's many opinions here. You know, the famous opinion, there's two famous opinions. One is that this is a child in a cot. And the child speaks up. Oh, I know what's going on here. If you check out his qamis, that's one view. Tayyib, that's one view. Another view is that this is basically somebody who works for Aziz, okay? Or is someone from Aziz's family. And he's a very sharp person in terms of being able to make judgment. And to be honest, this seems to be the best view. Why? Because of two reasons. Firstly, this process of finding out what the judgment is, Allah praises this process that he comes up with later on by saying it's from the ayat, that they saw from the ayat. And one of the signs that they saw was this qamis being torn from the back and being told that it is in fact pointing towards her tearing it and him being truthful. So number one, Allah praised that process, okay, which points to the fact this person is a person of good judgment. We can learn something from him. And secondly, Yusuf alayhi salam later on will be thrown into prison. When he's thrown into prison, he's told by the king, look, you can come out now. And he says, I'm not going to come out until you go and ask the women what happened. Okay. Now here, the shahid, okay, if he was a baby, Yusuf alayhi salam would have said, go and ask the baby. Baby doesn't lie. True or not? The baby is far more greater evidence if it spoke than asking the women what they did to confess. True or not? If a person confesses, all right, clear. But if a baby spoke, I mean, that's far greater evidence, right? He doesn't say that. He says, you know, ask the niswa what happened. So that's the second piece of evidence that perhaps this isn't really a strong view to say that it was a baby in a chamber. Okay, so this shahid comes and he's from her side. And Allah Jalla wa'ala says that he proposes that, look, let's look at the shirt. If it is torn, okay, in kana qamisu qudda min qubulin fa sadaqat wa huwa min al-kana. If his shirt is torn from the front, then she's speaking the truth and he is telling a lie. Wa in kana qamisu qudda min duburin fa kadhabat wa huwa min as-sadiqin. And if his shirt is torn at the back, then she has lied and he has clearly told her the truth. Now Hayy ibn Ashur says that it seems as though this shahid, he thought that she was in the right, okay, and through the process of investigating, it just so happens that the conclusion that they reach based on the idea that it comes out with actually points to the opposite, which is that Yusuf alayhi salam is in the right. Why does he say this? Well, because he says if he was on her side, as Allah Jalla wa'ala said, then why would he, you know, come to a conclusion that was against her? Most probably what happened is that unknowingly he comes up with a way to show who is in the right, and that way ends up leading to another answer, which is that she's in the wrong. Wallahu alam. Al-Razi will take another an activity here. He says, besides the qamis being torn from the back, there is many other evidences to show that Yusuf alayhi salam was in the right. And I'm going to ask you to try and, you know, identify those in a minute. This verse here, Allah Jalla wa'ala says that this shahid, he comes and he says, okay, so if it's torn from the back, then it means that he's truthful. How does it mean that he's truthful? Well, because the idea is that if he's going to go after her, then she's going to try and, you know, push him away. And if she pushes him away, she's going to tear his shirt from where? The front, right? But if she's going after him and he's running away, then she's going to try and pull his shirt. And if she pulls his shirt, then it's going to be torn from the back. Okay, so it's quite clever. Right? It's quite a clever way of saying, well, this means this and this means this. Tayyib. Okay. That is why Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentions that this process of deducing the ruling by bringing the evidence is something that Allah praised. For Allah in verse number 35 says, ثُمَّ بَدَى لَهُمْ مِّن بَعْدِ مَا رَأَوُ الْآيَاتِ لَا يَسْجُنَنَّهُ حَتَّى حِينَ. That Allah Jalla says that after they had all seen from the ayat, the signs. So what happens after this is Yusuf alayhi salam is, you know, is made a victim of again. They try on him again. Now she gets the rest of her friends to try and persuade him and pressure him into doing zina with her. وَلِيَعَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So when it comes to that stage, she goes, you know what, I'd rather go to prison. Before he goes to prison, they actually, Allah says that they knew all the evidences. Yeah, they knew all the evidence, saw all the evidences, but they still put him in prison. So what did Allah say? He said they saw the ayat. And Ibn Qayyim says one of the ayat that they saw was this one that the Shahid highlighted, which shows that Allah was pleased with the istidlal of this Shahid, with the reasoning that this man brought in order to deduce the hukum, the ruling. And from that, you know, we learn that Allah Jalla Wa'ala wants us to establish the evidence before declaring a ruling. طيب. Okay. Next verse. وَإِنْ كَانَ قَمِيصُهُ قُدَّ مِنْ دُبُرٍ فَكَذَبَتْ وَهُ مَنِ الصَّالِحِينَ. Okay. صادقين rather. So here, as we mentioned, Razi said that besides the shirt being torn from the back, there are other evidences which show that Yusuf al-Islam was in the right and she was in the wrong. What other evidences do you think he was referring to? Okay, I'll ask you brothers in the corner over there. What do you think? What other indications or evidences are there that clearly show that Yusuf al-Islam, you know, he was the one being, you know, he was the victim rather, and she was the one that was trying on him? What, besides the shirt, what else do you think? Okay, so Razi mentioned this one point, okay, that is the way that he responds, هِيَ رَاوَدَتْنِي عَنْ نَفْسِي. Number one being second, so he doesn't jump in to say it, he waits. And secondly, the way he says it is very clear. She tried it on me. As opposed to the way she said it, which was quite ambiguous. What do you mean? What's going on here? You're just talking about the punishment. I mean, what happened exactly? In that, there's a guilty conscience being shown. Okay, that's very good. Let me go to someone else, mashallah. Yep, okay. But Aziz, does he really see all of those doors locked though? He might go later on and say, oh, I'm going to go get changed now. Huh? Why is this door locked? And this door, what's going on? Maybe, you could say something more obvious than that though. Okay, let's ask the two brothers there. What do you think? I kind of get what you're saying. She didn't go on shadi.com. So, we've already learned that there's a problem in their marriage, that he's unable to satisfy his wife, Tayyib. So, she's obviously going after Yusuf al-Islam for that reason. But how does that show that, you know, he was innocent and she was the one chasing after him? Okay, that's good. It's kind of like what the brother's saying, which is basically that he's the slave. Would a slave even dare to do that to their master? Come on. What is a slave trying to rape their master anyway? Is that really going to happen? It's unlikely. It's unlikely. So this is another thing. So number one, okay, she is not being clear in her accusation, mentioned already, as opposed to him being very clear. Number two, a slave doesn't have the nerve to do this to their master. And number three, you mentioned first to the door. Okay. And number four is he's been living there for a long time. His character is known to Aziz. He knows that he hasn't got it in him to do something like this. Okay, he's been living here for how long now? It's very unlikely he would have done something like that. So Razi brings all these things. He said, look, this shows us that besides the shirt being torn from the back, there are so many other signs that shows that he is innocent. Okay. Now the thing is, the fact that Yusuf al-Islam doesn't speak first, he speaks second, teaches us something, which is that you can expose someone for doing something wrong. You got the opportunity. However, what is better? Is it better that you try and advise that person privately, or to even maybe ignore it? Or is it better to go in and expose that person? It depends. However, if that person publicly tries to dishonor you, then you should speak up and you should not be quiet and try to deal with it privately. Do you understand this point? Yusuf alayhi salam could have easily, as soon as he sees Sayyid at the door, his master, Aziz, she's trying on me. He doesn't. He keeps quiet. He's seeing what she's going to say. She could have said something like, "Oh Yusuf, you know, we can't do this racing game anymore. I'm tired of it." She could have said that, isn't it? She's cunning though. She went for the kill. So when he says, "Hey, you're accusing me now? Dishonoring me publicly?" No, I have to defend myself. I have to defend my honor. I can't keep quiet here. So in this situation, if anyone was to accuse a person, they shouldn't say, "I'll leave it to Allah. Allah will clear my name." Do you see this? Someone might say this. You say, "No, look at Yusuf alayhi salam. He was accused and he never said, 'Allah will help me.' Allah will help you if you do what Allah wants you to do." Ah, Allah wants you to defend yourself. Just like Allah wanted you to run to that door. Taib, and that's what Yusuf alayhi salam did. Even though he's a very shy, humble person, that didn't translate into him being passive. Yeah? Some people are like this. They confuse being humble, sincere, with keeping their mouths shut in every circumstance. I don't know if you've seen this before. They misunderstand sincerity, they misunderstand tawakkul, they misunderstand being humble to just be passive. Someone does something bad to you, don't worry about it. Accuse you of doing wrong, don't worry about it. No. Certain circumstances dictate that you have to take particular action. Okay, and this is one of them here. Okay. فَلَمَّا رَأَى قَمِيصَهُ قُدَّ مِن دُبُرٍ قَالَ إِنَّهُ مِن كَيْدِكُنَّ. So when he saw the qamis, that it had a slit in the back, then he said, "Innahu min kaidikun." This is from your plotting and scheming. Who is saying this? Two opinions. Either it's the Aziz or it's the Shahid. Ibn Ashur says it's clear to me that it's the Aziz speaking now. Why? Because he's the one who got the Shahid to go around investigating the matter, and now he's bringing the evidence and the conclusion, and so he's the one seeing the conclusion. When he sees it, he realizes that his wife is the one being unfaithful to him. And so what does he say? قَالَ إِنَّهُ مِنْ كَيْدِكُنَّ إِنَّهُ. Here, Razi said this refers to what you just said. When you said, you know, what should be the punishment for the one who tries some evil with your family? All that thing you said to me, إِنَّهُ مِنْ كَيْدِكُنَّ. It is from your kaid. You're plotting and scheming. He doesn't say you as a singular. He says you as a plural. Women, you know, you're like this. You know, you plot and you scheme. Women, man. God, what can you say about women, eh? You're so, so bad. The way he's talking already, you can see where he's going to go with this. And then, إِنَّ كَيْدَ كُنَّ عَظِيمٌ. Indeed, your kaid, O women, is عظيم, mighty. And this means what? It means that the scheming and the plotting of women is great. That's what, who said? Aziz said. Okay, Aziz says this. So he ends that statement by saying, you know, this is from plotting of women. And you know the way women are, they're so bad when it comes to plotting and scheming. In fact, they're so great and cunning in the way they plot and they scheme. Now here, Qurtubi mentions something. He says, you know, Allah Jalla wa'ala said in An-Nisa, "Inna kayd ash-shaytanu kana da'ifa." Indeed, the kaid of shaytan is ever weak. So he said, Allah said about shaytan, his kaid is weak. Allah said about the kaid of women, it is great. And what does that teach us? Here, it seems, as mentioned by As-Samurai, that this isn't really accurate to say it like this. Why? Because Allah said in Surah Nisa, indeed the plot of shaitan is weak. But was it Allah that said the plotting of women is great? It wasn't, was it? It was Aziz. So it's not really right to compare the two and then to make a lesson based on that, because that's not really accurate comparison. And to be honest, I am inclined towards this. Yeah, that this is more accurate to say that no, this is not a general statement about women for all time. that women, their cunning and their scheming nature is far greater than men and even shaitan. Which is what some people say. I can accept the view that if a woman was to plot, then her plotting would be far more cunning than a man. Which is different to saying women are cunning. Okay. However, what Dr. Fadhil Samurai mentioned, I think is a far better analysis. And that is, what he's actually saying is that just because Allah mentioned something in the Quran, it doesn't mean Allah approves of that. And that is very accurate. Because Allah mentions so many things in the Quran. Allah mentions that Shaitan says this. Allah mentions that, you know, the people of Lut, they said this to him. And what the prophets mentioned. So Allah spoke about what happened. Yeah. And just because Allah mentioned, for example, what Shaitan said, doesn't mean Allah is pleased with that, is it? Or Allah accepts that. Or Allah affirms that. It doesn't mean that. Oh, okay. And that's why Ibn Qayyim said that this istidlal of the Shahid, that the Shahid and his way of deducing the reasoning and the end ruling was praiseworthy. Why? Because Allah said something later on that showed that he was pleased with that. So Ibn Qayyim is also referring to this type of understanding, principle. That just because Allah mentioned something in the Quran, it doesn't mean that Allah approves of this thing. Especially if Allah is not the one saying it. True or not? This Aziz is saying this, or the Shahid is saying it. Whoever it is, it's not Allah Jalla wa'ala. So anyhow, that's a side point that we mentioned, inshallah. Next verse. Yusuf a'rid an hadha. This is, subhanAllah, this is just too much. You would think that Aziz, the husband, in this situation, would, you know, go crazy. Wouldn't he go crazy? He's just been shown to his face by somebody else respectable that it was your wife that was trying it on your slave. He'd go crazy, right? What does he say instead? Yusuf a'rid an hadha. Yusuf a'rid means turn away hadha from this. Meaning, as Al-Qasimi said, keep quiet, don't tell anyone what happened. What? Why are you telling me that for? Yusuf understood exactly what he's saying. He's saying, brush it under the carpet. I don't want you to say anything to anyone. Why would he say that for? Why would he say, I don't want you to tell anyone what happened here? Who is he? Who is Aziz?
The king.
He's not the king, okay. He's second in command to the king. He's the minister of finance. So he's, who is he?
Master.
He's master, but in society, who is he?
Popular.
How do you say the Pope?
Popular.
Oh, popular. He's popular, but more than being popular, what position do people use, the people in, any, a person in that position wants to keep things at home, scandals at home, quiet. What type of person? Politicians. Politicians, and their career is at stake if somebody finds out some dodgy business is going on in the house. True or not? He's a politician. He don't want his career to be messed up. So the first thing he says, Yusufu a'rid an hadha. Al-Qasimi mentioned also that the fact he didn't say, Ya Yusuf, you know, call him out properly, shows his number one close connection with Yusuf, that he just, you know, someone so close, he can talk to him just like that, Yusufu a'rid an hadha. And also shows us how, you know, intelligent Yusuf alayhi salam was, that he understood just from these few words what his master was saying to him. Okay, he understood it, he never said anything. But now look what he says. Now, okay, Yusuf, you know what, you haven't done anything wrong. I'm not going to be mad at you. But he's going to be mad at his wife, right? He's going to be mad at his wife, no? He should be mad at his wife. What did he say to his wife? Wa. This wa is like another sentence. This other sentence is being directed towards his wife. Wastaghfiri li dhanbik. Ask Allah to forgive you. Ask Allah to forgive you? I mean, is that all you're going to say to me? Wastaghfiri li dhanbik. Yeah, just go ask Allah to forgive you. Innaki kunti min al khati'in. Indeed, you are from khati'in. Khati'in, those that make mistakes. Those that make mistakes? Is that all you're going to say? You know, and even here, it doesn't say you are a person in making a mistake. Khati'. or from khati'at, you are from the women that make mistake. He says khati'een, from, you know, men and women, they make mistakes. You know, you made a mistake, go ask Allah to forgive you. Is that easy going? Come on, he should go crazy on his wife. At the very least, he should separate them. Say, you know what? That's it. You can stay upstairs, he stays downstairs now. True or not? He doesn't do any of that. So what does that show us about Aziz? And the way he is to his wife? What does that show us?
In relationship between the three of them.
Okay, so there's a nice cozy relationship between the three of them. However, you know, certain things are unforgivable. If your wife is unfaithful to you, it's not good character to say, oh, it's okay, don't worry about it, you made a mistake.
But in this particular case, I mean, if you were to fast forward to the next verse,
yep,
then you see that people do recognize the kind of temptation that she was facing. And maybe he recognizes his own weakness as well.
No, if you fast forward, what you find is that, what do you know? She's got the opportunity to do the whole thing again. In a more theatrical way. She calls all her friends over. So, you're thinking, Aziz, you never put any measures in place to stop her doing it again? In fact, she could do double next time. She called the Niswa of Misr, of, you know, the elite women of Misr, and she says, you know what? Come over here and check him out. Why does she say that? In order for them to put pressure on him to do zina with her. Okay? So, at the very least, Aziz should have had some ghayra, protective jealousy of his wife. But that's what he failed in. Though he may have had good conduct before with regards to Yusuf al-Islam in being good to him, when it came to his wife and this particular scenario, he's not doing too well. Yeah, he's not doing too well. And this is a point that both Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah and Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah mention, which is that here Aziz is being shown to have little ghayra, little protective jealousy. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said that a man having protective jealousy over his woman is one of the strongest preventions for her to be unfaithful to him. If a man is very protective of his daughter, his sister, his mother, his wife, and he's not casual about things, you know, your daughter's going to university now, and you know, as a father, I'm concerned about what uni you're going. I don't want you to go so far away. I don't want you to live out. I don't want you to live at home. And even when you go to uni, I want to know, you know, what's your timetable like? I don't want you to be out so long, I don't want you to be out so late. This is protective jealousy. And this will help her to protect her chastity, true or not? And the opposite, which is, it's up to you, you know, you can learn from your own mistakes, my daughter. Go ahead. Where do you want to go? You want to go live out there? No problem. You know, you go and live and learn yourself. What's going to happen? Whoa, what could happen possibly is that she could fall into mistakes. She could be robbed of her chastity and all the rest of it. So the man having protective jealousy over his woman is actually something which helps her keep faithful to him, number one, but also to protect herself from abuse from outside world. Okay, and subhanAllah, in our times, this element of protective jealousy over one's wife is dwindling. You know, brothers, they don't have this sense of honor for their women as they once did. And here Aziz is being shown that this is very bad, the way you are behaving with your wife. Come on, telling Yusuf first we brush you under the carpet and telling your wife, it's between you and Allah. فَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. And then إِنَّكِ كُنْتِ مِنَ الْخَاطِئِينَ is kind of like making it broad. You know, he's not saying you're, you know, clearly in error. He's saying you're, you know, people make mistakes and you made a mistake. Okay, and later on also we'll see how Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah speaks more about this as well, about the lack of ghayra of the Aziz. Okay, I think this brings us to the end, in fact. One thing just before I remembered, the wife of Aziz says, قَالَتْ مَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ أَرَادَ بِأَهْلِكَ مِنْ سُوءٍ. The ma here means either a question or it's a negation. Either she's saying there is what should be the punishment, this or this, Or she's saying there's no punishment for him except this or this. I just remember this now. Taib, make a note of that, inshallah. Okay.
I wanted you to clarify for me. Is it ghayra the same meaning as bayut? Is it the same or is it different?
Same meaning is what?
Bayut. They used to teach us, they say.
Yes, do youth. Diyatha. Diyatha means a person who has no protective jealousy over his women folk. Yeah, and that's what next week you'll see Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah calls him a duyuth, somebody who has absolutely no, you know, honor towards his woman. And we have really come to the end of the dars now. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.